Good morning, everyone. We want to thank you for your presence with us. We're glad to see each one at our morning service. Let me remind you and read to you the words of our motto text for this year of 2024, Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And we're praying that we'll know that direction through our services today, that the Lord will come and lead us, and that each one of us will know the clear direction of the Lord in every decision that we have to make in this week that lies before us. We're singing together the words of Fanny Crosby's great hymn of praise, number 7 in her book, To God Be the Glory, Great Things He Hath Done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life, an atonement for sin, and open the life gate that all may go in. So hymn number 7, we'll stand together as we worship, please. Let's bow together just before the Lord. We're going to lift our hearts to him in prayer. We encourage you to worship the Lord in prayer just now as well. Pour out your hearts in praise to him. We've been singing about that praise, and there's not a doubt we have many causes to praise the Lord today. Father, we remember that your word teaches us that whoso offereth praise glorifieth the Lord. We want to glorify thee today in all that we do in this house and in these meetings. We want the testimony of this church and our lives in service to bring glory to your name. Remember, the Catechism teaches that man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Help us, Father, ever to live solely to your glory. So we want to give to thee at the beginning, Father, of this service, the praise of our hearts for the many blessings you've bestowed upon us through our lives, and especially the blessings that we've known during this past week. We praise thee, Father, for providing for us. We can say that you've given us every day of this week our daily bread, and even, Father, beyond the food and the practical needs, you've blessed us in so many ways. We want to thank you, Father, that we're able to be in your house on this Sabbath morning. We're thankful for health and for strength. We would not want to take those blessings for granted. We're conscious, Father, of how quickly our circumstances and our health can change. So we do praise thee, Father, that you've given us health to be here. You've given us health to serve thee. And we ask thee to help us to give ourselves in the work of the gospel while we still have time and while we still have health and opportunity. We're mindful, Father, of those that are absent today. We think of some that are away with family, away on breaks, and ask that you'll watch over them. Give them journeying mercies, a time of refreshing. We're mindful of those that can't be here because of ill health. Lord, draw near to each one would be the prayer of our hearts. Pray that they will know the Lord's presence this day. We pray, Father, that even though they're absent from your house, that they'll be conscious that the Lord is with them, that they're in the very presence of God. We pray that you'll give the grace needed for the very trying circumstances. And Lord, we're asking for those dear folk that you will put your hand upon them. Remember the promise we considered last Sabbath morning: as thy days, so shall thy strength be. We want to pray you'll give to each one the strength that is needed for the days that they're passing through. We're mindful too, Father, of the senior members of our congregation, those that can't be here now because of weakness and old age. Lord, we're asking, be near to them. Pray that they would know the Lord drawing near to them even in this stage of increased years. We thank it you've promised that you never leave us and you never forsake us. And Lord, we ask that all of these dear folk will know the Lord near to them. They'll be conscious just of your help, your hand upon them. Remember family that cares for them as well. We thank you, Father, for all that has happened in this church through this last week to further the cause of the gospel. We plead today for your blessing to be upon our labors. We bring every meeting, every outreach, every department of the church before thee. We're asking, Father, put your hand upon this church. We pray for your blessing to attend to our labors. We pray that it will be evident to the congregation that the Lord is blessing our efforts. Even more, Father, we pray that it will be evident to the people in this community, in this city, that God is at work in this church and among this congregation. Lord, we ask that you'll come upon us in a new way and in a special way. We're asking for a very definite visitation of God to attend to our lives and to come upon this ministry. We want to ask, Father, that it'll be one of those times of spiritual harvest, one of those times when many souls are being saved. Lord, we confess that we need such times. We confess, Father, the barrenness spiritually of the times in which we're found, the barrenness even of our lives. Lord, we need your touch. We need the hand of God upon us. We need the quickening and the enduing of your Spirit. And to that end, Father, we would cry even now. We ask you to remember our whole denomination. We lift our sister congregations up before thee, Father, just at this time. We're mindful of those congregations that are vacant in these days and praying for those that are in charge, the interim moderators, with the additional burdens and responsibilities. We're praying that you'll give guidance to those congregations, that very soon that you will lead them to the man of your choice to take up the pulpit ministry, the feeding of the flock. We're mindful of the congregation in Corrigarie. Thankful, Father, for the time of blessing that they had recently in the gospel mission, for so many that visited those meetings, the encouragement that that was to the congregation, the strengthening of their hands. We remember Mr. Shields and Mr. Maxwell at this time, blessed their labours right throughout this year, used them greatly. Our brother Mr. Shields especially, recovering from the injury to his wrist, may he know the healing touch of God upon him. But Lord, we want to pray that very soon the pulpit there would be filled. We ask that you would direct the congregation. We pray that it would be for them as it was in the home of Jesse, those many years ago for Samuel, when young David came in and the Lord said, the Lord's anointed is before thee. Make it evident to them, Father, the one that you would have them call even to be their minister. We ask thee to remember the work of the college at this time. Bless, Father, the plans for the new facilities there at Tandragee. But especially we pray for new students. We think, Father, of the need to carry on the work of the college, and especially the need to carry on the ministry of our denomination. We ask, Father, send labourers, encourage the Reverend Nelson and all of the lecturers, give them help. We think of the increased workload that they carry as well. May they know the strength of God. Pray, Father, that it would be so for the college as it was in the school of the prophets in the Old Testament in the days of Elisha. We pray that soon the place would be too straight. We pray that there be so many that the classes might be filled even to capacity. And Lord, we're asking that you lead us on as a denomination. We want to pray that we'll see the Lord lengthen our cords and even strengthen our stakes. And bless the officers of presbytery. Remember their responsibilities. The Reverend Murray, Dr. Brown, the Reverend Greer. Lord, sustain these brethren. Give them a Solomon-like wisdom for the challenges that they face, for the responsibilities that they carry. We're mindful of our Lisburn Church today, especially the opening of their new hall facilities yesterday. Thank you, Father, for providing for them, undertaking for them right through the program. Pray that this might be a special time of blessing, even for them. Encourage them over this weekend. May it be the means of bringing others from the city of Lisburn in to the church there. And Lord, we ask thee, remember the special missionary meetings to be held in Lisburn in the incoming week. We ask, Father, that the hand of God, the presence of the Lord, the blessing of God will attend to every one of those meetings. Pray there'll be a time of challenge. Might be a time of advancement. We remember, Father, the time in Acts 13 when the Lord said that they were to set apart Saul and Barnabas for the work to which you've called them. Pray that that will happen this week, that there'll be those called of God, those identified even for future service in the missionary work of the church. Give help to the board, encourage them, especially at this 50th anniversary time. Lord, we praise thee for providing for the board, for using it over this last half century. And Lord, we want to pray that this, in truth, will be a time of jubilee. We pray that it might be a time of the Lord's a great blessing, resting upon the missionary work, and even new doors and opportunities might be open to them. We spread all these matters, Father, before thee. We ask thee to hear our cries. We rejoice that you're a faithful God, a prayer-answering God. Call unto me and I will answer thee. Show thee great and mighty things. Do that for us as a congregation. Do it for us, Father, as a denomination. Do it for the mission board, the college as well. O God, through every effort of our small denomination, we pray, do great and mighty things amongst us. Answer these our cries. We offer them today in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing together, please, the Psalm 121. I to the hills will lift mine eyes. From whence doth come mine aid? Our safety cometh from the Lord, who heaven and earth hath made. So the Psalm 121, and again we'll stand to sing, please. Amen. The Old Testament scriptures, please. We're reading together in the Word of God in the book of Numbers, the fourth book of the scriptures, the fourth book of the Pentateuch, the books of Moses, chapter 21, just the opening section. Numbers 21, the opening 11 verses, beginning at the first verse. Let's hear God's word. We want the Lord to speak. We want the Bible to speak. Let's just pray in our hearts to that end. Numbers 21, verse 1. And when King Arad, the Canaanite, which dwelt in the south, heard tell that Israel came by the way of the spies, then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. And Israel vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, if thou wilt indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities. And the Lord hearkened to the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them and their cities. And he called the name of the place Hormah. And they journeyed from Mount Hor. Let me just emphasize this next statement to you. By the way of the Red Sea. We'll have a little to say about that in the message this morning. But they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. And the children of Israel set forward and pitched in Oboth, and they journeyed from Oboth and pitched in Ajabarim. If you have a Bible with a margin, the reading there is heaps of Abarim. But they pitched at Ajabarim in the wilderness, which is before Moab, toward the sun rising. We'll close our reading just there. The close of the 11th verse, praying for God's blessing very clearly to rest upon the public reading of his word at our hearts. We do want to give you all a sincere word of welcome to the morning meeting. Thankful for your presence with us. Glad to see all that are able to join this meeting today or to be present. There's some away, some quite a number amongst us that are unwell and in our families also. If you've come to visit today, we're glad of your presence. Glad that you've joined us for the meeting. Pray you'll be blessed in your own heart. It's good to have the children and the young people. We're always glad to hear you in Sunday school as you sing and as you leave Sunday school and come into the house of God. And we encourage you in your attendance at the Lord's house. And we welcome, too, those that are watching our service today on the live stream from wherever that may be. May the meeting today be a blessing to your heart as well. I remind you there is communion, the Lord's table, immediately after this morning service. We encourage as many as the Lord's people as possible to remain for that time of the breaking of bread. Tonight at 6 is the prayer meeting. 6:30 is the gospel service. The theme in the gospel tonight is, why are you still not saved? A challenge to those that have heard the gospel so many times for so many years and still not saved, still not right with God. Let me remind you that we're taking today the annual missionary council offering to give support and help to the missionary council in all that they do, a supportive role that they have to the missionary work, seeking to raise funds to support various missionary projects. So we encourage you to give to that as generously as you can. Please mark the envelope with your gift in it for the missionary council. Remember, if you have missionary boxes, we ask you to bring those in today as well. And if you would like a missionary box to help support the missionary work more regularly, speak to our brother and sister Wesley and Laura, and they'll be able to help you and provide you with one of those boxes. Remember that tomorrow in the morning at 10 is the parent and toddler group. Remember that you can help the meetings there by making those as widely known as possible. And then Tuesday at 6:45 is both of the children's bright hour meetings. Again, make those meetings widely known. Encourage the children to come along. Wednesday at 8, our midweek prayer meeting and Bible study. The speaker on Wednesday night is our brother, Mr. Fred West. I'll be down at the missionary conference in Lisburn. I need to be present at those meetings. So we appreciate our brother helping out and ministering. He may give you a little update as well just on the work of the senior Bible class also. So remember Fred and come along and encourage him with your presence. Friday night, the Youth Fellowship, they're planning to go down to Lisburn to the missionary conference. The Youth Fellowships have been invited to that Friday night meeting. A number are planning to be there. It'll be a good opportunity for our young people to meet up with young people from throughout the denomination. So you're leaving the Mall on Friday night at 7 o'clock. Keep that in mind. There will be refreshments served to everyone afterwards. You'll have an opportunity of fellowship, and we do encourage all of the young people to attend, to be present on Friday evening. Next Lord's Day then, the 10th of March, Sunday School and Bible class is 10:40, our meeting's 11:30 a.m. and 6:30 p.m. Please remember the seasons of prayer, how important they are before both meetings. Lord willing, I'll be the preacher at both of those services. Monday week then, the 11th at 7:30 is the next meeting of the church committee downstairs in the hall, just to remind the members of committee of that meeting. So that's Monday week the 11th. The Radio Star broadcasts, remember they're going out every Wednesday afternoon. We share those meetings with some of our neighbouring congregations. Keep those meetings in mind. I'll be doing the messages again for this month of March. There's a four-month rota, and it comes round very, very quickly indeed. So we value your prayers. We ask for your prayers as we prepare the messages, and pray for the broadcast then as they go forth over the airwaves. Remember the literature, the latest Vision magazine is available. The magazine of the denomination. Keep in mind the copies of the Watching and Waiting, and also the conference supplement that we mentioned to you last Lord's Day, and also the leaflets from the Christian Institute advertising the special meetings that they are holding just over the next few weeks, just to remind you of that special meeting that they're having in the Armagh City Hotel this coming Friday night at 8 on the subject of gospel freedom under attack. For the young people, the Bethany Church is having their monthly youth rally tonight at 8:45. Mr. Chris Killen, remember Chris works under the mission board with those that are addicted. He will be the speaker, and Miss Amy McHugh is to be the singer. And there's supper and a time of fellowship for the young people afterwards. The Tullyvallen Church are having some ministry meetings in this incoming week with Dr. John Douglas. They'll be studying the early chapters of the book of Judges, and they'll be doing that under the theme of God's unchanging faithfulness. So if you're able to give support to those meetings, Mr. Middleton told us to stress, we would encourage the folk to come on any night that there wasn't a meeting in Armagh. So if you're able to do that, they would appreciate your presence very much indeed. The Mission Board's 50th anniversary, remember that falls this coming Friday, the night that the young people will be down. It was on the 8th of March 1974 that the Mission Board of the Free Presbyterian Church was formed. So the board felt it would be appropriate to mark that Golden Jubilee with a special series of Mission Vision meetings. We want to give thanks to God for his faithfulness, for all that has been accomplished. It's the Lord's doing. And we're not just going to look back, we want to look forward through these meetings. That's the idea of the title, Mission Vision, as we look to the future and the expansion and the work that is still to be done. Thankful to the Lisburn Church for so early making their new facilities available to the board. Remember, the board meets there in Lisburn at present on the first Tuesday night of every month. So those meetings run from Wednesday through to Saturday of this incoming week. The chairman of the board, the Reverend Mercer, will speak on Wednesday night on evangelism. The Reverend Ryan McKee from Macrofelt, also a member of the board, her brother, will speak on discipleship on Thursday night. I have to speak on Friday night on the pattern of church planting. And then there's going to be a special missionary rally, a report given of the last 50 years. And the moderator, the Reverend Murray, will preach at that meeting on Saturday night. Those three meetings on evangelism and discipleship and church planting, the idea of those meetings is to set out for folk, for our congregations, part of the strategy, part of the vision that we have as a board, part of the work. We feel it's important for people to know, to be informed, and to understand what the strategy is when we send missionaries forth, what we want to see happen, the developments we want to see take place, and what our ultimate aim is in church planting itself. So that's the importance of the subjects. They've been very carefully chosen. So pray for the Lord's blessing to be upon those meetings. The details are on the Facebook page, both of our church and of the Mission Board itself. And I value your prayers as well, as that message is prepared and delivered then on Friday night. So there's quite a choice for you as far as meetings are concerned for this incoming week. Also, the ordination is taking place of Mr. Jonathan Story. Remember Jonathan from the Hebron Church? Jonathan received the call and accepted it at the February Presbytery to be the new minister of the Mount Marion Church in Belfast. So that's also taking place on Friday night, and it's going to be held in the Martyrs Jubilee Church, not in the main sanctuary, but in the Jubilee Church there at the back. So pray for the Lord's young servant as he takes up his ministry in the city of Belfast, there in Mount Marion, and the congregation as well. Keep in mind the Mission Board's building and vehicle appeal for Uganda. You can still contribute to that. We encourage you to do it if you can inside the next week. The committee will be looking at the gifts that have come in at their meeting on Monday night week. And if possible, it's nice to bring that appeal, as far as our church is concerned, to a close. Just to emphasise that the Belfast City Council is seeking to stop preaching, street preaching, and anti-abortion campaigners. They're planning to bring in legislation to that end. So the Martyrs Church in Belfast, under the leadership of Dr. Ian Brown, has been very active in seeking to encourage as many as possible to fill out an online survey that the council is carrying out to register opposition to those laws being brought into force. It would seem that the plan is, once they've introduced them in the city of Belfast, that they intend to roll them out then across the entire province. So what will happen there, if they come into force, will affect us in the future as well. So there is a link on our Facebook page that we placed up there yesterday that you can click on the link, scroll down to the bottom to take the survey and fill out the answers to the questions there. That closes tomorrow at 5 o'clock, so there's a wee bit of urgency as far as doing that before the deadline is reached. And pray for the Lord's intervention in that matter as well. Just to mention some that need our prayers, some answers to prayer. Mrs. Gillespie, continue to remember our sister in hospital. We're thankful to hear the news that Thelma's mum is improved and is at home. Pray for the family as they continue to care for her. Stephanie's mother is doing better as well and hopes to be home in this incoming week. Arrangements been made to that end. I know that both Thelma and Stephanie appreciate the prayers of the congregation here. There's quite a few in our church that are not so well just at the moment, so do keep them in your prayers as well. Dr. Cook is retired from Armagh 30 years ago in this past week. That's quite remarkable to think of. In the will of the Lord, if he's spared to Friday, he will be 95 years of age. He is quite frail, quite weak. He was back in the Ulster Hospital at the beginning of the week, but has now returned to the nursing home again with Mrs. Cook there in Castle Whelan. So we commend both of the Lord's servants to you, that they will know his presence, his grace and strength just at this time. We're going to sing some verses together. 425, please. What though clouds are hovering o'er me, and I seem to walk alone, longing mid my cares and crosses for the joys that now are flown. 425, we're going to stand to sing. We'll sing 1, 2 and 4 of the hymn, please. Think of those words, They're very much in keeping with our theme today. What the wall, my earthly journey, bringeth naught but weary hours. And in grasping for life's roses, thorns I find instead of flowers. If I've Jesus, Jesus only, I possess a cluster rare. He's the lily of the valley and the rose of Sharon fair. Let's just bow together in prayer, please. Father, we do seek thee in prayer today, thankful for your hand upon the meeting already, thankful for your presence with us. We lift up before thee, Father, those that are unwell, praying that you might be with each one. Remember Mrs. Gillespie, grant her your presence. Thank you for prayer answered for Thelma and Stephanie's mothers. Lord, continue to guide for the future. We remember Ella Rose at this time, and the family too, asking that you'll continue to guide them. We're glad to see Ella Rose in the house of the Lord today, and pray you'll encourage her heart and the family too. Ask that your hand will be upon Ella Rose. Just encourage her, guide the doctors. Pray that she'll know, Lord, your strengthening and healing hand. Pray that very soon it'll please thee to restore her to a full measure of health and strength again. Mindful of Dr. and Mrs. Cook, thank you for the memory of your servant, his ministry and his labours. And Father, at this time of increased years and all the weakness and frailty, be near to our brother, sustain him, Mrs. Cook, as well. We ask, Lord, that they will be conscious just that you're with them. And we ask thee to uphold them through these very, very difficult days. Abide with us now, Father. Come and bless the remainder of this meeting. Bless your word to our hearts. We pray, Father, that you'll use it. Pray it'll be a blessing. We ask that it'll be just that word that is needed for every member of this church today. Answer these our prayers. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn with me, Numbers 21, please. And the words of the fourth verse are our text. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Eden, or the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. The words, especially at the close of the verse, where it tells us, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. The theme this morning is a message to those who are discouraged. At the end of all of his meetings, Mr. Nicholson, he used to sing a chorus, especially when the campaign was drawing to a close. The chorus was called "Down in the Dumps, I'll Never Go." The words of the main verse go like this: "Down in the dumps, I'll never go. That's where the devil keeps me low. So I'll sing with all my might and I'll keep my armor bright. But down in the dumps, I'll never go." That chorus became very famous. In fact, it was Mr. Nicholson that made it so famous. It became known as Nicholson's doxology. The chorus teaches, it emphasizes the right attitude, the right outlook that the Christian should have, that we're never going to get down in the dumps. But the reality, brethren and sisters, is at times we do. At times we do become discouraged. At times we can become downhearted. And maybe that's your condition today. That certainly was how we find the children of Israel in this passage of Scripture that is before us. If you notice in the text, we're told the depth of their discouragement. The verse says they were much discouraged. Sometimes in conversation, a person might say to you, "I'm a little discouraged." And you may have made a statement similar to that yourself a few times in your life. But let me emphasize that these people were at the other extreme, because they were experiencing great discouragement. And perhaps, brethren and sisters, You're in exactly the same situation today. You'd have to say that you're much discouraged. Circumstances have been hard, events have been very trying to say the least, and you are down in the dumps. You've lost confidence, lost enthusiasm, maybe even lost hope. And you're surprised to find yourself here. You never imagined in years past that this could ever happen to you, but yet it has. You might not want to admit it this morning. You might not want to state it publicly. You might not want others to know. But today, in this meeting, you're very discouraged. Well, if you are, I want you to know that the Bible speaks about discouragement. Here's an example before us. And even more than that, the Bible speaks to the discouraged. In fact, the best way to deal with discouragement is by listening and meditating upon, listening to and meditating upon what God has to say in His Word. So let us consider this morning what God says to those who are discouraged. Let's take a little look at the passage that we've read from, and let's see what God says about how to deal with discouragement. There's some questions that we need to consider here. First of all, who was discouraged? Well, the text gives the answer. It says the soul of the people. I point out to you that the people who were discouraged were God's people, those who had been redeemed, those who had been greatly blessed, those who had been miraculously guided and provided for right throughout their wilderness wanderings, but still God's people were discouraged. Can I remind you this morning that being a child of God, being a Christian, that doesn't mean that you're going to be exempt. It doesn't mean that you're going to be immune from discouragement in this life and in this world. In fact, the opposite is true. There's a far greater possibility of you being discouraged. Why is that? Well, because discouragement is one of the devil's greatest weapons. We could even say that discouragement is his most dangerous weapon. And we need to see that, be aware of that, need to understand that fact. Remember, if the devil can't stop you with difficulties, can't stop you living for the Lord and serving Him, if he can't stop you with opposition and the lack of workers and the lack of supplies, what he'll do is this. He'll get you discouraged in your own heart and in your own soul. This, brethren and sisters, is his greatest weapon. Why is that so? Why is discouragement so dangerous? Well, there are several reasons. For one thing, everyone can get discouraged. Don't you fool yourself today into thinking otherwise. This is a universal problem. We can all get discouraged. There are no exceptions. You and I, everyone is included, no one is excluded. Every Christian can be attacked of the devil in this manner. So as Paul said to the Corinthians, he that thinks he stands, let him take heed, lest he fall. So that's one reason why discouragement is so dangerous. Everyone can be discouraged. Another reason is, you can get discouraged over and over. This is something that can reoccur in your life on many occasions. It's not something that you will just experience once. Here, the passage that we're reading in Numbers 21, Israel is almost at the end of their wilderness wanderings and they're discouraged. But you remember what happened at the beginning of those wanderings at Kadesh Barnea. The book of Deuteronomy tells us, our brethren have discouraged our heart. So what that means, remember the importance of comparing Scripture with Scripture. What that means is that this wasn't the first time that God's people were discouraged. This weapon, brethren and sisters, is so effective in the devil's hands that he uses it over and over. So that's one reason why we need to be vigilant and need to be on our guard. Another reason why discouragement is so dangerous is because it is contagious. Here's maybe the greatest danger of all that discouragement brings. When a few people get discouraged and start talking about it, others quickly follow. Discouragement can spread like wildfire. You know, the greatest example of that in the Bible was at Kadesh Barnea, way back at the beginning of the wilderness wanderings, not long after they left the land of Egypt. Do you remember the discouraging report of the 10 spies? What did it do? It filled the whole camp of Israel with discouragement. You asked this morning, why did Israel not go in to possess the land not long after they left Egypt? Why did they wander for 40 years in the wilderness? Let me tell you why. Because of the discouraging words of a small number of God's people. So, brethren and sisters, here's something that can spread very quickly among the congregation. So what a warning. Don't you be a cause of discouragement among God's people. Do you remember what Paul said to the Corinthians? Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. In warfare, one way to defeat the enemy is to know his strategy, to know how the enemy will attack. And it's the same for us as Christians in the great spiritual warfare. One way to deal with and defeat discouragement is to be aware how the devil will work. We're not ignorant of his devices. We should know that the devil will use this means. Remember, it's good for us to be aware of all the means that the devil uses on God's people. So I want to make you aware that this is one of his strategies, one of his greatest weapons. So who were discouraged? Think of the question then, why were they discouraged? Well, look at the end of the text. The people were much discouraged because of the way. So it was the way or the road that they were on. It was the path that they were treading. That's what discouraged God's people at that time. We need to ask the question, what way or what path were they on? Well, you don't have to guess about the answer to that question. If you look at the words of the earlier part of the text, you're left in no doubt. It was the way of the Red Sea. Remember I highlighted that? I impressed it upon you during the reading. The way of the Red Sea. Isn't that interesting? Let me point out, Israel at this time had now been over 39 years in the wilderness. They had been wandering for a long time. There's a number in this meeting this morning. You haven't reached your 39th birthday yet. Well, you think of 39 years just wandering in the wilderness. That was a very long time. It had been nearly 40 years, nearly a generation, since they had left Egypt. But still they were only at the Red Sea. In other words, they were still only where they started all those years before. So if you think of it, after nearly 40 years on the journey, they were not much further on than they were at the beginning. Some people would suggest, some of the commentators, if you read them for yourself, that they were on the road heading back towards Egypt again. Now, wouldn't that discourage anybody? It doesn't matter who you are, what your personality is, how positive your outlook might be. This people was much discouraged because of the way. And the reality is we find ourselves in a similar situation. Many Christians are discouraged today because of the way, because of the road, because of the path that they're on. After all the years that you've worked and labored, you don't seem to be much further on in the work of God. And that can be true, brethren and sisters, in life generally, with regard to your work, your business, your home, your health. Maybe you find yourself not much further on in some or maybe all of those things after a very long period of time. But especially, I want you to think of the situation in the work of God. Attendances can be disappointing. Responses to the gospel are minimal. Souls that are being saved, few and far between. Progress in the work, it's very, very slow very, very difficult. Maybe because of some or all of those things, you're discouraged. Discouraged because of the way. Just stop for a moment and think of this. Remember, the Lord knows. The Lord knows the road you're on. The book of Job reminds us of that. He knoweth the way that I take. Isn't the wording so appropriate? He knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. So the Lord knows where you are. And the reality is he has brought you there. And he has a reason and a purpose. And I emphasize it's a loving reason for bringing you the way that he has through the journey of life. Remember that he has a loving purpose for all that he does. We need to see that. Never forget it, never lose sight of it. Where you are, the path that you're on, it's not an accident. It's not a mistake. These things are not against us, as old Jacob thought, but they are for you. The Bible teaches that. Remember the words of Paul to the Corinthians, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us. It's not working against us. The afflictions of life, they're for us. God has a purpose in them. Paul's word to the Romans that we're so familiar with, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. So I emphasize again to you, the circumstances in which you're found, these things are not against you. Do you remember what the Lord asked Philip? Where could he buy bread for the multitude? That was at the feeding of the 5,000. Why did the Lord ask Philip that question? Well, the answer is recorded for us in the passage, in the scriptures themselves. And thus he said, to prove him. And remember, sometimes the Lord, his purpose for the way he brings you, the situation that into which he leads you, the situation in which you are found, is exactly the same. His purpose is to test you. It's to prove you, to prove your faithfulness and to test your heart. So it's good to know that, good to learn that. Did you ever ask, we're thinking here of Israel in the wilderness for 40 years, do you ever ask why the Lord kept his people in the wilderness for all that time, for all those 40 years? What was his purpose? Well, again, there's no need to wonder. There's no need to make a conjecture. The Bible clearly tells us the reason why. It's recorded in chapter 8 of the book of Deuteronomy. And thou shalt remember all the way. Remember, we're talking about people who've been discouraged because of the way. Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee and to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. So maybe as you come to the morning worship service today, you're asking the question, what's the Lord's reason? What's the Lord's reason that he's brought me on this road, brought me on this path, brought me on this way? The road is so long, it's so difficult, so frustrating, so discouraging. Well, brethren and sisters, the reason's just the same for every one of us. The Lord wants to humble us, and he wants to prove us, and he wants to know what is in our hearts, whether we're going to keep his commandments, whether we're going to obey him, be faithful and continue to follow him. Faith in the night as well as the day. The reality is he's putting you to the test. So that's the reason why these people, why the Lord's people were discouraged. Think of when they were discouraged. If you look at what we learn in the previous verse, and the Lord hearkened to the voice of Israel. There's an answer to prayer. And delivered up the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them and their cities. And he called the name of the place Hormah. What we've been told there is that Israel had just been in battle, and they had won a great victory in answer to their prayers. And it was then, it was immediately after the victory, that discouragement struck and discouragement came. It is true, brethren and sisters, that a time of blessing, a time of progress, a time of victory, that's a time for joy and rejoicing. But I emphasize to you, it is also a very critical time. You ask why? Well, because at such a time you're off guard, at such a time you're tired and you're weary after all the exertions, after all the labours, and at such a time you're never more open to discouragement. And there are many examples of that fact that are given in the scriptures. Let me just give you one. You think of the question, when did Elijah fall into a state of discouragement and depression? It was just after the great victory on Mount Carmel. A time of victory, brethren and sisters, is a very critical time for each one of us. One of the great lessons of this portion is that it warns us not just about how the devil can attack you, it also teaches us about when he is most likely to attack you. And if you've been blessed in your life and labours, if you've been used of God, if your efforts are being fruitful and souls are being saved by your labours, and the same is true of the church, if the work is making progress and if the devil has been defeated, then I want you to know and to see clearly, to learn here, there's no time you need to be more careful, more circumspect, no time you need to be more on your guard. God would say to you, beware, be careful, be on the lookout, be watchful. In the words of Peter, we need to be sober and to be vigilant. We need to be wide awake and alert to what is going on around us. Why is that? Well, it's because you're open, wide open, to discouragement and to such an attack. That is how the devil works. That's how he fights back. That is how he will seek to hinder your efforts. You just think for a moment of what it really means to be discouraged. In the book of Deuteronomy it says, of what happened at Kadesh Barnea, our brethren discouraged our heart. And the word discouraged there, it actually means melted. That's the marginal, that's the alternative reading that is given. What does discouragement do? It melts your heart. Knocks the heart out of you. It weakens your heart. And it weakens your resolve. In other words, you don't have the same enthusiasm, the same zeal, the same desire, the same will to go on and to carry on the work. And brethren and sisters, the reality is so many churches, so many missions, so many Christians, they have failed, they have given up, they have lost out. Just when they were making progress, just when they were going forward, just when they were almost there. Why was it? Well, not because they didn't have the resources or the personnel. They didn't have the plans or the facilities. Not even because they didn't have the blessing. Why was it? It was because at that critical moment, the devil discouraged them. The devil, by his strategies, knocked the heart out of them. So when were they discouraged? At a time of great blessing, a time of great victory. The final question is, what happened when they were discouraged? Discouragement always has consequences that are negative, consequences that are very detrimental to the Lord's people and to the work of God. And we learn of them in this passage. Let me just highlight two for you. One is they complained. Note the opening words of verse 5. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Isn't it true to form when people get discouraged and get disheartened, they need to blame somebody. They need to take their frustration out on somebody else. And that's exactly what happened here. They criticized two people, the Lord and the leader. Isn't that very solemn? And that led to the chastening of God upon his people. That's why the Lord sent the fiery serpents among them. So they complained. The other consequence or result was they were restrained. If you look at verse 10, we're told, and the children of Israel set forward. So the idea is, what we've been told, what we're learning is that during this period of discouragement, they had stopped in their journey. Their progress had been halted, it had been hindered. Their march to Canaan had been stalled. They had wasted more time along the way. So brethren and sisters, it's important to understand, to learn the lesson, discouragement is always, and I underline that, it is always detrimental to the Christian life and to the work of God. There can be no progress. There can be no blessing when God's people are disheartened. So here's what happens when discouragement sets in. In effect, the two matters I've set out just now, this is what not to do. Let me sound that warning. This is what not to do when you're discouraged. Let me ask you to think for a moment of what you should do. And the portion gives the answer. First of all, there was penitence. In verse 7, they said, "We have sinned." There was a confession of their sin, especially the sin of complaining, murmuring. They confessed their sin before the Lord. Not only was there penitence, there was also prayer. Verse 7, Moses prayed for the people. Let me ask you to think of that. Does not show the greatness of the man. They had criticized him openly to his face, but still he prayed for them. He lifted them up before the throne of grace. So let me stress, brethren and sisters, people who are discouraged, they need prayer. It's vital to pray for encouragement and blessing, the blessing of the church and the blessing of God's people. Can I put it to you like this? Don't criticize each other. Rather, cry to the Lord. Cry to God for one another at the place of prayer. And then the third thing, as far as what you should do, is connected with the pole, verse 9. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. The situation as far as the chastening of God's people was only remedied when they looked to the brazen serpent that Moses made and placed upon the pole. Remember, that's a picture of Christ, a picture of the cross work of our Savior. John 3 teaches that again, the importance of comparing Scripture with Scripture. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. It's a picture of Christ. And it teaches us the reality. We need to keep our eyes on Him, on Christ, and on His finished work. That's one of the reasons why we get discouraged. We get so taken up with our circumstances. So keep your eyes on Him, not on each other, not on the path, the way, not on the difficulties, not on the lack of progress. We need to get our eyes on the Lord. You think of the words recorded of the disciples in the upper room on that resurrection day. It tells us, "And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord." So if you're discouraged today, let me tell you, there's nothing that will make you glad. There's nothing that will encourage your heart like a sight of Christ. That's one good reason why you ought to take time this morning to wait for the breaking of bread. Pray for a sight of Christ in the communion, the Lord's table. There's two places, primarily as Christians, that we will see Christ. Let me give you them both, beginning with the letter S, to help you remember them. In the sacrament and in the Scriptures. So I encourage you, pray. Pray with those Greeks of old for such a sight that we would see Jesus. Nothing makes you glad like a vision and a sight of the Lord Jesus. So here's a little, brethren and sisters, of a message for those who are discouraged, or how to deal with discouragement. I'll finish just with this. R.A. Torrey, the noted evangelist, a very wise and able man, he made this statement on one occasion. I impress it upon your hearts. He said, "I refuse to listen to the devil's discouragement." That's one of the best bits of advice that you will ever receive. So much discouragement, so many ways the devil tries to whisper in our ears and discourage us. So let us have that resolve. We're going to refuse to listen to the devil's discouragement. That's not easy. There's times he says it so loud. There's times that he repeats the discouragement so often. But remember what the Bible says about the devil. He's a liar. And he's been a liar from the beginning. So here's a message for those who are discouraged. Just like Israel in those days long ago, the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. May the Lord make his word a blessing to your hearts this morning. 568, please, is our closing hymn. Be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. So remember that great truth. We'll sing 1, 3, and 5. I'll go to the door after the first verse. We encourage you to stay for the Lord's table. If you're not able to remain, you'll be able to leave after the singing of the first verse and chorus. So 5, 6, 8, 1, 3, and 5, please.